So this is my first podcast since leaving Sacramento, and it's been a very fulfilling journey. I didn't think it was going to be like this. I was nervous. I was very nervous for Amani because she saved me. And I don't want her to be scared or hurt. But it seems like we have both adapted nicely. I was going through my videos, and my videos are about to change. In my Instagram, where you see me in the home I'm living in. I'm currently back home, but I'm back home with my mother. And it's been an interesting experience. It's had its, I wouldn't even say ups and downs, nothing like that. It's had, you know, you just have to figure out how to live with someone. It doesn't matter who they are. You have to respect their space. So it's just navigating yourself around someone else's space. And my mother, she's my mother. You know, she's set in her ways. I'm not coming here and trying to change how she does things. I just want to make life a little bit more easier for her. And the only way I can do that for her is to help as much as I can. I didn't come here to sit on my ass and do nothing and just take advantage of being allowed to live somewhere and pay nothing. No, there's always work to be done. And I'm constantly organizing to help my mother's life have a little less stress in it. And I think it's working. I'm taking care of her. This is the same thing I would do for my family. I was always, when they were younger, as they got older, and you expected older children to carry more responsibility. But in the beginning, I did everything. I pretty much waited on everyone hand and foot. Because that's just the type of personality I have. And that's how I was at work. I did everything. I felt like if it was going to be done correctly, then I needed to do it. Because I'm very organized. And after having my stroke, I have to be even more focused on being organized. Because if you've had a stroke and you're disorganized, then you're actually making your life more difficult than it should be. And this is how I've been all of my life. So it wasn't going to stop because of a stroke. So I just came here and reorganized everything. Every room. And it's a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment. And I just redid everything. And my brother and his wife were gracious enough to get me some supplies to make things easier. Because I just want my mother to be comfortable. I just want her to be comfortable. I don't want her to come home and have to worry about anything. The house is always tidy. If you look at my videos from Sacramento, my house was always tidy. That's just in my nature. So I'm not gonna go to someone else's house and be lazy and take advantage. No. That's not an option. So trust me, I put in work. And I enjoy it because I'm helping her. And I like to help people. It's just, I may have been an asshole during parts of my marriage, but that's because I was hurting, and hurt people hurt. But I always did my duty, and that was to take care of. I think that we just had two different philosophies of raising children. I think it was a cultural difference. And this is the second time I've tried to raise Caucasian children, and both times my tactics did not work. And when I was growing up, you didn't have very many options. And I'm just talking about when it comes to, you know, what was respectful and what was not. And I see how a lot of people parent here. And I'm noticing where my parenting skills came from. It's very no nonsense. It's very New York. And I can see where it can also be hurtful, because a lot of people are not built like people who were raised in the urban areas. It's different. It's a cultural difference. But that doesn't mean it's not love. It's just a different way of expression with more passion. But it's always love. It just reminded me how when Tony told me a story about her son, I taught one of her sons how to walk. And it was just, let's get up and do it. There's no, you can cry, but you have to do it. You must accomplish both. And we're going to keep doing it. And it wasn't not to be hurtful. It's just, come on, get up. Let's do it. Let's walk. Let's go. Let's go. We got this. It was just more direct. And I don't know if I'm explaining that, you know, where it's understandable. But the way Tony explained it, which is, let's, you know, there's no option. Let's get this done. And Rainbow's response was that it was too harsh. And Tony was like, well, my son started walking. So that was the bottom line. I'm telling you, I really think it's a cultural difference. So I won't be raising any more Caucasian children, because I'm not built the same. It's how I live my life now after my stroke, as what people may consider harsh, I consider direct. And I'm that direct on myself. There's no other option but to finish the task. So I treat myself the way I've always dealt with everyone. And some people can't understand because they were not raised like I was raised. And I really feel that if I was raising children of color, children more like myself, And they would understand that although you're being direct, it's love. Just because your teaching is a little bit more direct and in your face, it's love. And like I said, the only time I became hurtful is when I was being hurt. Like direct disrespect in your face, and that behavior being allowed. And if you're from where I'm from, no. But I stayed in it. I stayed in it too long, and it was too late. I was always putting their dreams and goals ahead of me. And I basically raised the whole family, not just the kids, because Rainbow is living in her goal. And I guess that's just her destiny to, ride on someone else, to use someone to get there. So that was her tactic, and it worked. It doesn't even matter about the stroke. If I didn't have the stroke, it was a wrap. It was no matter what, it was a wrap. Because we didn't love each other anymore. And we began to hate each other. That's the one thing I can say about all of my other relationships. Yeah, they were pissed at me, but they did not hate me. There's some things that they probably will never forgive, but the hate and that pass that hate from yourself to your children and have children aim that hate at the person who raised them, the person who protected them, and the person that was a little too harsh with discipline. And as far as communication goes, because that's it. That's the devil. I really believe that I was living the devil's life for 12 years. And it's just a part of life. Because the only way you really live good is to do good. And in the beginning years of my life, I did not do well. I did not do well. And I kept ignoring God. I ignored him. I ignored him. And I think I knew what I was doing. And God kept talking to me. And I kept ignoring him because I was trying to save someone else's life. And I forgot about my own. And I forgot about my relationship with God. And the thing about this whole thing, I was being taught about God from the wrong messenger. That was not God. I'm sorry, that was very dark. And even if I really hate you, I would not do any of these things to you. I would have not carried you along because I needed you to do all the things that I hated to do. So I'm gonna have you do them for me. I'm gonna carry you along until I get to the point where I don't have to do anything. And then I'm gonna drop you off You're not even drop me off. I'm just gonna abandon you. The shit was the stuff, I don't need to curse. The stuff that was really bad, it really makes her look bad because I had a stroke during the process. And say what you want. That stroke happened because it had to happen. That stroke happened to get me away because I would not listen and do it myself. And I got stuck. I read a whole bunch of information about financial abuse, and I really strongly believe that that is the situation that I was in for 12 years. Struggling to get our family out of a financial catastrophe where we could have been homeless. Because people can always talk about money. A lot of people thought Rainbow had a lot of money. But I'm sorry. We were always broke. So anyone who thinks that I stayed for the money, no. There was no money to stay for. I was in a financially abusive relationship. I didn't have any friends. All of our money was dependent on her because I couldn't make enough money. I never had the opportunity to build anything that I started because I was picked up and moved to another state 7 times. So anything I started in one state had to end. And if I try to restart something different in another state, had to end. And that was the cycle I was living in. And we were always broke. Me and Rainbow came from almost being homeless. And I had to navigate some hood tactics to get us out of that. You know, when you live in the hood and people are going to tell you that you're going to be homeless, you're going to figure out a way to survive. And a lot of it may not be legal, but I'm here to tell you what I did was to survive. And I did nothing big because we were always broke. If I was doing something to that magnitude, we would not be broke, but we were always broke. And I don't care, about saying this, and I'm not embarrassed because people need to realize when you marry up, if that's what you want to call it, you're actually marrying down because you're marrying someone with possibly with less integrity. And that's what I did. I don't even understand why I got married. And I'm not saying this to be hurtful, but I canceled my wedding before I was going to get married. And I didn't go through with it. Why? Because I was always threatened that I'm going to have nothing and I'm going to be nothing. And I would start all over. And the entire relationship that I was being told this, I believed it. And I always had a place to go. My cousin, she always offered something for me to go, and I ignored it. Not even offered. I didn't never ask. I never asked, but I know that if I would have left Rainbow and I would have went to my cousin, she would have taken me in. Both of my cousins would have taken me in. Because that's love. And now my mother has taken me in. So I always had a place to go. But we were always moving. We were always trying to get situated. We was always trying to get ahead. And I was living that for their lives, for their benefit. Because as you can see, I've gotten no benefit. And I'm not the I don't like to spend money. So I never took advantage. I never said, okay, buy this for me. But everything at the drop of a dime, when Rainbow wanted to do it, and it was gonna cost us money, it was done. The lifestyle, she demanded a certain lifestyle, and I had to hold it all together. That lifestyle, if she continues to live it, is going to explode because I am not there to keep putting band-aids on the top of band-aids. I'm not there for that, and she has no one there. And the devil is still speaking in her ear because she has not called me one single time. And I told her before I left that I'm receiving no disability. I am not going to be able to pay rent in this apartment ever again. Everything I'm selling is for last month's rent and for me to go home. And she knew this. And you know what she did? Absolutely nothing. I'm telling you, the devil is barking in her ear like a Rottweiler, and she can't hear nothing else. I'm just so happy that God is doing that for me. I love the situation I'm in. I live with my mother, yes. I do everything because everything for me is rehab. Not only is it rehab, then actually, rehab is in my nature. This is in my nature to do all of this, and I'm getting rehab at the same time. I mean, I'm living real life rehab. Not that shit that the insurance company sends me, do this video, do no. I'm doing real life stuff. This is the best rehabilitation ever. My mother's Amazon box is here. It has a closet. I'm about to put together her closet because I've already rearranged her entire room. Just to make her life easier, just to take away that little stress where you can just navigate wherever and just be comfortable. I keep my mother organized. She doesn't have to keep thinking about where's this, where that. No, this is where everything has a place. This is just how I am, and I love it. And then the food that she brings home. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I really feel like every single person should have a restaurant. The food is so good. I hope I'm gaining my weight back because I dropped down to 127 because I stopped buying food in Sacramento because I could not take it with me. So I bought like small amounts just to keep me going for the day. And there were times, days that I would eat out of the vending machine down in the laundry room. And now the food I'm eating here. Wow. Yeah, I would look like a very different person if I didn't have this stroke. But it's been really nice. I like the setup in my room. I had some mishaps. They're long stories, but they couldn't find three boxes. One box showed up. Now I'm able to live a little bit more comfortable and inside my room so my mother can have her space in the living room because she has her own life. I'm not trying to interfere. I'm not trying to be a burden. But I'm not gonna sit there and just milk my mother. No, I'm gonna do the work. So it's been very, very interesting. And then listening to all the sounds. I lived on the sixth floor in Sacramento. Now I'm at street level. And I can hear everything. People. Last night, this group of four people, it sounded like two couples were just sitting there very loudly, putting together their entire plan for the next day together. And it was loud. Like, I thought about, I was like, should I get up and tap on the window and be like, hello, excuse? No. I was like, I'm gonna let them have their conversation. So I hope they had a good time. And then it's just so New York. I love it. And then I heard another, like, it sounded like it was going to be a fight, but you can tell it was a boyfriend and a girlfriend, having beef with other people. Because the girlfriend was ride or die, sticking up for her man. And she had this thick Hispanic accent. Very New York Hispanic accent. And I was just loving it. I was loving it. My exercises are different. I don't care. Everything has been beneficial. I'm still on Bible study, and those women don't even realize how much they've helped me with my journey. I'm getting the right messages from the right messengers. I was getting the wrong message from the wrong messenger. And now all the messengers I have are all giving me God's messages. So I'm in a really, really good place. I don't know what the next step is going to be. I keep asking God to send me a sign. But I know I'm going to see Tony. I can't wait for that. I'm going to see Felicia, both who I went to high school with. Maxine is not going to make it because she believes her daughter, she wants to be safe because her daughter came back from a vacation not feeling well. So it would have been all four of us. I was like so looking forward to that picture. We're going to have to reschedule that. It's just going to be the three of us, the threesome. So I just have some really great things coming up. I don't have anyone in my life. All the people I have in my life are my family and my friends. I'm concerned about having someone on any other level because I'm not ready for that. It's not because I'm trying to heal. I think it was pretty apparent. It was pretty much a fuck you slap in the face. So I'm not trying to heal over that. I'm trying to heal over my stupidity and turning my back on God. That's the part I'm trying to heal. And if I meet someone, I'm not gonna say yes to them because I do not want someone on that level. To begin with, I have no income. I'm still waiting for my disability. Everything is on my mother. I'm coming to the end of what I have left. My divorce is all fucked up once again. I'm sorry for my language. I have to fix that. That's frustrating for me because I'm trying to heal my brain. And it's frustrating because mistakes that are happening would not have to happen if someone else would have took care of this part. Someone with money. Why do you have money and expect me, the person who has no finances and a stroke, to get us through this divorce? I'm telling you, this is how I've been used for 12 years. And it's so hard to explain it, especially when you go to court. When I go to court next time, I'm going to write a letter and I'm not answering any questions. And whatever you give me is what God wants me to have. That's it. I don't care. This is difficult to explain in 10 minutes. My hearing the last time was 10 minutes. And then they hung up on me. 10 minutes. No, you can't explain all of this in 10 minutes. And then there's more on top of it that I'm not even discussing. That was the devil. I'm telling you, that was the devil. I refute you, devil. I'm so happy that God is in my life. Because that was terrible. I wouldn't even treat the devil like that. Because it's not in my heart to treat anyone like the way I've been treated. And that's God. So I'm telling you, if you don't know God, you need to get to know Him. Because there's friends in my life that don't know God. And I always pray every day. There's family in my life who don't know God. And I pray every day they get to know God. Because my life has only gotten better. Yeah, things need to be fixed. But God is going to work it out. Everything is on God's time. And if I'm going to get it, it's when God says that here it is. You can't rush God's plan. That's why I'm not worried about nothing. Anything. And I can't wait to see Tony. I'm not ready for a woman. Mm-mm. But all the females that I've met so far, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 female friends. And I want them to all remain my friends. Because they have been great friends. That's another thing that was very controlling. And it's a part of financial abuse. I never had any friends. I remember when Rainbow tried to get me to hang out with a bunch of soccer moms who are white. Nothing in common. And I didn't even want to be around them. I didn't want to pretend I was someone I'm not. I'm not you guys. I just wasn't. So now I have friends. And now I have 5 female friends. One who which is in a relationship. And I want to meet her partner. Because I am not for, you know, making anyone feel something strange. Because I want these people to remain my friends. And another reason why I'm not ready for that is because I'm not going to have someone pay anything for me. No, that's not going to happen. No, you're not going to pay everything. No. It wasn't even like that when I met Rainbow. In the beginning, I was trying to pay for everything. And in the end, I paid for everything. I'm paying for it in a different way. In a really great way. Because I'm just getting grown, I'm growing, I'm getting stronger. God is coming more and more into my life. And the devil has gone far away. Because I'm telling you, that was the devil. The devil was in my ear too, and I was not listening to God. So I'm just happy to be where I am. I'm happy with my progress. I'm just so excited for the future. I look forward to starting my business. I look forward to just doing whatever it takes to improve my way of life, to improve me physically, to improve me mentally, to improve me emotionally, and to improve me financially. But until I get the financial part kicked off and started, everything else is going to take longer. I'm not saying money solves all problems, but I need something to live. Right now, because I don't have anything, I live in a cave. But luckily, it's a loving and very rehabilitating and cave. So my resources are very, very limited, but everything else is immense. And that's what I'm so happy. I'm so happy how this process is going, because I needed this time. Now I hear Spanish music outside. This is wonderful. It's just wonderful. The sounds, I just love it. The way this process has been happening is just the way I need it to happen. And I can't wait to hang out with my friends this weekend. I can't wait to see Tony this weekend. And I can't wait to see what God has for me next. It's just been a crazy, wonderful ride. And I'm very happy. I love New York. I left New York in 2019, I believe. No. In 2009. I left New York in 2009. And it's 2021. Yeah, I love it. And I'm happy. So if you listen to all of this, thank you. Wow. You're amazing too. And thank you, and I appreciate it. And you have a blessed night. And God is so good. So good. Have a blessed night.